My name is Chuck Lutz, and this is a forum on Holden as a cross-generational community, as a community of all ages and for all ages. And we're going to explore that question tonight. To what extent should it be that kind of place? And if it should be, how can it be changed to make it a better intergenerational community in its programming, in the life we have together here? Holden, from early in its life as a church renewal center, has been for all ages. It has been for families, although at times it has been particularly for youth, for senior high youth, for young people of teen years, who would come here in large groups, and the village would be predominantly youth during those periods. But in more recent years, it's been almost entirely a family center, and so people of all ages have been here. I want to introduce now the person who is on the staff to work in the intergenerational coordination of Holden. I don't know if that's a position that existed before this summer, but it may be new. Dave Sponheim is that person. And Dave, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you say a little bit about what that job is, and then you can introduce our five spokespersons.
Thank you, Chuck. I think that the issue that we're going to be talking about tonight is very important for Holden and for Holden's future. The number of young people in the village is increasing every year. This year, almost half the guests that are here are under 18. And my role or task is to facilitate people of different ages interacting together. Holden tends to segment people. The younger children go to Narnia and are kind of sequestered there. The minors have their activities for junior and senior high youth. The sessions are mostly geared for adults. A lot of the hiking is done. It maybe doesn't facilitate. There just aren't a lot of things going on for people of all ages to participate in. And so there really are two questions that we would like to deal with in the forum. And we should also say that forums are a time of interplay. We're fortunate to have five young people who are willing to share with us tonight. And it's a time to discuss the issues and to get different opinions out. And we hope that we can have a lot of interaction. The first question before us is should Holden be a place for both adults and children? Should it be a place where there's a variety of ages? And if so, and that's part of the second question, what are some ways that we can create a community here at Holden which ministers to the needs of all ages, not just older, not just adults, not just young adults, not just teenagers, not just elementary age children, but all of us together? And how can we facilitate doing things together, not just separately? You know, how can we get the teenagers interacting with people in their 30s, in their 40s, and in their 50s, and all over? Because that's really what we want to talk about tonight. And we're fortunate to have Allie, Sharon, Sonia, Tim, and Brad, who have some thoughts to share about how they feel about Holden and what they feel Holden should do or is doing that they really enjoy or should be doing more of in the future. And they're going to kind of share with us. And during that time, if you have any questions for them or comments, please feel free to express those. So
Dave, we'll hear from all five of them first.
Right.
But think of your comments and responses to what you hear them say, and you'll have your chance a little bit later.
Right. So again, the issues we're talking about are is there a place in Holden for young people? And if so, what are some ways that Holden can better minister to the variety of ages that are here? So Allie's going to start.
My name is Allie. I live in Bellevue, Washington, and I'm 8 years old.
My name is Sharon. I live in Plano, Texas, and I'm 10 years old. My name is Sonia. I'm 12 years old, and I live in Bellevue, Washington.
My name is Tim. I'm 14 years old, and I live in Issaquah, Washington.
I'm Brad. I live here in Holden Village, and I'm 16 years old.
Okay, the first question we're going to deal with then is do young people have a role at Holden Village? We know of the I think it's more common or more, maybe not common, but more easily understood, the what Holden does for adults with reflection, contemplation, sessions. But what do children think of Holden Village? Is it important to them? Do they think that there's a role for them in Holden? Okay, and Sharon, you had some thoughts to share on that?
Sure. Well, Holden is a very beautiful place, and I'm glad I came here this year. And I think that people of all ages will enjoy the wilderness. And it was meant to be because it was God's creation of the wilderness, and it was meant to be shared by all ages.
So you think Holden should be for all ages? Very good.
Sonia?
Okay, I think that usually children and adults get along very well. They like each other. Families like being together, especially on vacations, and children and adults learn from each other. So I think that Holden should be for both youth and adults.
Okay, and then for the senior high perspective, Brad?
Okay, I'm going to drop off the subject of how beautiful the wilderness is, and I'm going to say that right now we got a little bit of trouble in America. We were talking about this, and according to our leaders, it's not unusual for 9-year-olds in Chicago to be seen pregnant. So these years, kids are losing morals, and by taking away Holden Village, Holden Village is a moral-supporting place. And by taking it away, this is going to drop a lot of moral activity that could be beneficial. So Holden Village, I would say, is very helpful to the kids and belongs to the kids also.
Okay. Anybody else have anything to say on that? You have something, Ellie? Okay.
Children and adults should be together because children look up to adults and adults sometimes look up to children.
Okay. So, you have some? Okay, Tim?
Well, I feel that Holden, you know, should be a community for all ages, and, you know, there's some pretty good youth programs and stuff, and if the children were, you know, removed from the community, it would just sort of take away from it, and, you know, it would be a lot different.
Okay, good. So it seems unanimous up here that Holden is a place that kids really enjoy coming to, both for the beauty and to be with their families, and for the support, the moral support, and the Christian support that it provides. Does anyone out there have any comments on that, or either in support or questions or about whether Holden best serves is a community for all ages? Is that in pretty much agreement that it is? Yes. Okay. We hoped so. That moving on then to the next question, which really is central, I think, to what we'd like to do tonight, and that is, if it is a place for all ages, what are some ways to get the ages interacting together so that we can learn from each other? And what are some ways that Holden can better minister to people of all different ages?
Together.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If that's what you think we should be doing, rather than segregating the groups all the time by age. Mm-hmm. Who's going to lead off with that? Do you have something on that? Okay.
Well, Holden is very nice, and I like all the activities that it has. And some of the food at the kitchen I like, lots of it. But some of it isn't to my perspective, whatever.
It's not to your taste.
Yeah. But I think they should have more meals that children will be used to. I've never had lima loaf, and I don't think I'll have it again, but I mean, it's okay. It's not my favorite, but I think they could work a little there to help have children have food that they're used to more than having so much different stuff.
Was it lentil loaf?
Lentil loaf.
That you'd never had before.
That's nice.
We had it a couple days ago.
Yeah. Well, there was ketchup, though. Anybody else have any ideas on what are some ways we can get people of different ages to interact together? Sonia, do you have some ideas on that?
I think we could have sessions that are interesting for both kids and adults. There's usually a couple that kids like, but not most of them. Maybe some sort of socializing hour so that kids and adults can meet each other so that they don't see them as a stranger, but they know them. One thing that Narnia could do is have suggestions from the kids before they start the classes so they could plan ahead, and that'll make it easier for the kids.
Okay. On that, you mean the kids at the beginning of the day or the beginning of a week could make suggestions
yeah.
about what they'd like to do during that week or that
yeah.
day?
That week, probably. Mm-hmm.
Sonia, I'm interested in the idea of sessions that are interesting to both parents and children, or both adults and young people. What do you have any ideas on what some of those might be? I mean, we could just brainstorm for a second. Anybody up here? What are there any ideas on sessions that might be more appealing to? That might appeal to both parents and adults. Whoops.
Both adults and
adults and
youth.
Children.
Subjects? Can you think of any?
Like sometimes there was one on Sunday school that was interesting. One year I was here in Advent, and they said things they do to prepare for Advent, and they gave examples and mm-hmm. talked about their children, and that was interesting.
They could have sessions telling of like what's on the hike that they're going on, like maybe the next day, or to tell them what points are good and to make sure they don't get lost, or tell them what the beauties are so they'll know where they are and they can see them.
Mm-hmm. So more nature type of activities? Because do the kids like nature activities?
Well, I do.
You do. Okay. Guys, from an older perspective, any ideas on sessions that maybe would be useful for both older and younger people to participate in or to learn from? Whether it be useful for both, something on, any ideas there? Anything on, as teenagers, anything that you think would better, do you think there's enough interplay here for where adults and teenagers can relate on some of the problems they face?
They could have sessions on alcohol or drugs and stuff like that.
Yeah. Okay, some more of the problems that face teenagers? Okay. Any ideas out there that are for ideas for sessions or for topics that might be of interest to both adults and younger people?
What about a session where using some of the current geography games that are available that are fun for a lot of different ages, and a facilitator that could possibly use the games to bring in some of the social consciousness and some of the social aspects of hunger, third world countries, and what third world means in our discussions at Holden Village?
It's almost like a learning activity or not activity, but a simulation event.
Simulation game, gaming. Exactly. Would be a possibility that all ages could enjoy.
Calling it a game brings the kids into it. The social conscience of the adults at Holden, if you titled the session properly, would bring the adults into it.
Okay, uh-huh.
Possibly sharing sessions on how your family interacts with each other or how you handle various common problems that occur within families. I think we all find out that families are so different one to the other, and it's sometimes interesting to share the differences and things you like about what happens in your family unit and even your extended family, how people deal with various problems that come up with relationships with grandparents and all that kind of thing.
And something that struck me just in working with these marvelous young people this afternoon, you know, I am from Wisconsin. I teach in Wisconsin, and I'm interacting with kids from Texas and Washington, and that's really exciting. I think Holden provides a place where really you can see a neat perspective on different locations of the country, and how family units perhaps interact at different families from Washington, California, Midwest, and so forth.
I think it may be play readings that have a wide variety of cast characters, youth and adult.
Well, that's excellent. Where they could kind of work at performing
sit
those.
It could be a performance, or you can just sit around and read, and the others are listening.
Storytelling. Mm-hmm.
Do you kids? Do you like to perform in plays and stuff?
Yeah.
You're probably shy, huh?
There was a hand up over here. Yes.
Like these two first people said about the social consciousness and the family interactions, it's really weird for me to see what adults think. Just talking to adults, like on the ride up here, that was an 18-hour ride for us, and we talked a lot. And it's weird to see what adults think about drug problems or alcohol problems, and it makes you stop and think, that's why they're so worried and stuff. Because we see, as kids, see things so much differently than adults. And just a sharing session or rap session or whatever you want to call it, it just makes you see what other people are thinking. And it really is eye-opening sometimes.
Good, thank you. Yes.
One area that maybe needs some exploration is the area of family devotion. We have really struggled with that in our family, because I am just committed to have family devotions, and often it's real boring and meaningless to the kids. And now we have made some progress, maybe. But I'd sure like to know what other people do with that. And I think if I could get every family in my parish to have family devotions, that would revolutionize the church. If there were some way that as families, adults and kids, talked about the faith on a regular basis around the dinner table.
Like daily.
Like daily. Yeah. We don't make it daily, but we make it maybe 4 or 5 times a week. Holden has done such pioneering work in a lot of things that maybe that's one place where the intergenerational could be explored some.
Mm-hmm. It's a good suggestion. A discussion of that and how various families approach it.
Yeah.
And is anybody succeeding?
Yeah.
And what are kids like and what are adults like?
Yeah.
Another take up on what...
Speak up so the mic
Another thing that one of the kids had mentioned was what they do during Advent. Maybe any a session on family traditions.
Mm-hmm. During seasons of the church year.
Right.
I was just going to say that whatever it is that's done, I think it's really important to keep an action orientation on it. Because kids aren't going to, whether, and that's really what's been coming out, just to articulate that. whether it's playing something or a discussion that children aren't, they have to be a mediator who wouldn't intimidate the kids so that, you know, they'd be willing to speak out and it wasn't dominated by the adults in the group. But just that action orientation, they aren't going to be, you know, I don't know, maybe you guys can speak more to this, but I know when I was your age, I wasn't real willing just to sit back and listen at sessions, too.
Nobody tonight has called for a lecture on anything.
Yeah.
Just to follow up on that, I've worked a little bit with youth of all ages, and my experience, and I think we saw that with what the panel said, was they can understand and talk about anything. There's no topics that are just for adults. Mm-hmm. And I would argue any age could discuss anything, whether it's issues in Central America or inclusivity or anything that goes on around here. If it's done in a way that's interesting and exciting and involves their whole self, their whole body and all their senses. And I would argue then that adults would learn more here too from those things.
So there's no strictly adult subject matter at Holden. It's a matter of method for getting into the material.
Did you catch what that meant? Do you think that you have opinions or reasons that think of like why an issue like the Middle East, do you have ideas of what's going on over there or anything like that or why it might be?
Well, I don't know. I don't really watch the news a lot or anything, but it'd be nice to have a session where we're talking about issues happening all over the world, mm-hmm. and that we can be aware of that.
Do you think are children your age interested in what goes on in other places in the world?
Well, I would say yes, because lots of the children that come here are from practically all over the United States and mm-hmm. countries.
And some from other countries in the world
yeah.
come here too.
Mm-hmm. And it's kind of interesting if you heard what was happening in other people's places or countries,
mm-hmm.
states.
Yeah, we just had children here last week from West Germany, and I know we'll have them from other places. So that's really meeting different cultures, I think, would be really, really important. So, great. You know, like getting back to that point and what Brad mentioned about a supportive group for, in terms of providing support and help in facing some of the problems that are in young people. How can Holden, Brad, do you have any ideas? How could Holden be any better organized to support that? Or how is Holden organized well that does support that? Are there something that Holden's doing well that helps that sort of support that might be important for like for teenagers?
Yeah, so far in the minors we do meet every week at least once for talking about morals, or like today we talked about anti-Semitism, things like that we do each week that can really help out. And a lot of that where the whole village gets in and puts in ideas, not just as the small minor group, but more of a village thought. You know, everybody puts in their thoughts, not just the minors.
On a topic that's important to talk about, like
yeah.
anti-Semitism or
drugs,
alcohol. Okay. So maybe focus more on some of the important issues that are affecting our country and affecting young people as well as older people. Mm-hmm. Okay. Anybody else have any thoughts on how about more structurally? Is Holden structured right now to meet the needs of all people and also to facilitate doing things together, or is it structured? Is there a problem, or is it just a problem of perception? Is there a problem of too segmented in individual little groups, or do you think there is enough chance for interacting together? Do anybody of you guys have a young men and women have a feeling on that? Do you think there's enough chance to meet adults and talk about problems like this, or do you think there's not enough opportunity to talk to adults or
no,
talk? Sharon, you have an opinion on that?
Yeah, sort of.
Okay. It's
kind of a strange question.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
Well, I don't know if this is true or not, but sometimes adults act like they don't want any children around. I mean, they're like, get away from me. But...
Did the older guys, do you ever feel that way?
Oh, yeah.
Well, this is very... Okay.
But... Like, if I need to talk to my mom or anything, I can go to her. Wow. You know, she's like that. But really, I don't think that there's very many people, adults, to talk to.
Okay. Anybody else have any?
Over here.
Uh-huh.
There's... not a lot of chances for the adults to get together just because kids are stereotyped so often. And we stereotype adults too. I mean, old farts or whatever, you know.
Can you be a little more expressive? Say what you mean.
I mean, it's just that you don't often mix the stereotypes. And it's so common for everybody to stereotype. Like, an example that hits close to home. We got in our first night here, we were making noise in our room, and somebody knocked on our door, and so we quieted down, and she knocked again, and we quieted down again. So we learned our lesson that night, and then last night, there was...
girls across the hall that were being...
Yeah, the adult, there was so many adults in this one room, and they were being so noisy, and we could just hear it already that we were going to get in trouble for it. And nobody knocked on their door, nobody yelled at them for disturbing quiet time.
Were you tempted to knock on their door?
Yeah, I really did, not because it was bothering me, because I could sleep through the noise, but I just wanted to say something, you know, come on, give us a break, because they're not going to get blamed for it, we are.
Mm-hmm.
And... So, if they do it again, I'm going to knock on their door. But it wasn't really fair because, you know, the kids are always the one that's... I mean, we've pretty much set ourselves up to get blamed for a lot of stuff. But sometimes it's, you know, we get blamed so often, we don't want to get blamed when we don't actually do it.
So
I'm
going
to get blamed, but I had to get some fun out of it.
So
thank
what,
you.
I'm interested. Thank you very much. I'm interested, though. I think really the critical question. This really gets at the heart of what we'd like to do tonight. What are some ways that we can create or enhance people of different ages doing things together, so that, like, it's true with everything. If you don't know someone well, it can be if you're in a city that's with blacks and whites. If you never see someone from the other segment of the population, you're more likely to really get down on them when something goes wrong or blame them. You know, like here, it may be young and old. If you know, stereotype, if I'm in the dorm, and it can be true in the staff dorms too, for staff. If you have people in the staff dorms, talk about intergenerational, of all different ages, all the way from kids in high school to someone who's a grandpa or grandma. And if there's a lot of noise, you all of a sudden think, aha, young people, you know. And what are some ways that we can embolden, break down those barriers and get people interacting more so they'll learn more about each other and be more willing to accept and work together? I guess that's really key. Sue?
I think Sonia had a good idea that we sort of passed over, was to have kind of a social hour. Have a game night every, you know, couple times a week where everybody, all generations, come to the dining hall and have different games set out that they can play together.
Mm-hmm.
Just
little things to get to work together.
Yeah, that's what makes people feel comfortable.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I have found that the time after supper, especially during that 6:50 session before Vespers, is a real down time. There's not a lot for families. I have young children, but if there were a song fest Good after time. Supper to do something so that if one member of the family did want to go to a session, there would be that freedom to know that the rest of us weren't kicking around.
So maybe offer more variety during that hour, hour before Vespers. Yeah. Thank you.
That's both really good.
I have a suggestion, perhaps for a session. And thinking back to when I was a minor or so, my biggest problem was respect. I never felt that adults respected me. I kind of hear that a little bit coming from y'all down there. And my suggestion for a session is perhaps exchange role playing, where you mix up people not from the same family. You have a child playing an adult, and you have an adult playing a child, and you exchange roles. And a lot of times that can bring out the things that you hear when you're a child and the things that you miss when you're an adult, and also vice versa.
That'd be great.
It might bring some light to
just to see the other side of the story when they're kind of reversed.
And a lot of fun too.
Yeah. That's a good suggestion. Yes.
Something that's fun on 4th of July and Christmas in July that is really fun are the games that are, or at least I'm sure they're still done now, they were 2 years ago, where it's it's across generation. I don't remember what it's called, but it's just when everyone goes, you know what I'm talking about.
Well, some years we've had new games, which are non-competitive games, but games in which there's no winner and loser.
Are those the games you mean? That's what I was thinking.
And they've been cross-generational.
And they've been very cross-generational. Even the celebrations, you know, that go along with those have been very cross-generational. And maybe some of the philosophy that goes along with the special days could be, you know, lifted out, and maybe you could have a new games evening once a week, or during coffee hour or something like that to incorporate energy in that. That may be jumping off.
Thank you. Did you have your hand up?
Yes, yeah. I was just going to suggest some kind of an intergenerational event per day.
Each day.
Families, because, you know, I find being here, I'm involved in some of the other sessions, my kids are off in different directions, and everybody's happy doing what they're doing,
but you're separate.
See each other at night or at mealtime. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes, you know, they want to stay with their friends in groups. And, you know, I think that's fine, but maybe providing more opportunity.
So each day, something intergenerational.
Whether it be games or some kind of discussion or...
And should it be entitled an intergenerational event with the intent that all different ages come, or should it just be the event titled? Because sometimes, for example, we tried intergenerational volleyball, and sometimes it's worked, sometimes, however, we just have young people there. I mean, the idea is what are some things which we can do that will get a variety of ages there, and not just... like if we do have a game night, should it be required that if you're under a certain age, you bring along an adult? Or should it be an open invitation and hopefully we'll get a variety of people there? That's Sonia?
Well, I think it should be an open invitation. And if it says intergenerational on it, then the kids can know they can come. They don't have to... make an excuse that they have to ask someone, or make an excuse, well, I'm not invited, and they know they can come.
Do you think kids for a lot of sessions feel like they'd be an intruder if they walked in, because it's...
Sometimes.
One thought that was kind of hit upon was changing the titles on the little schedule to make it interesting for everyone, because This afternoon, miners had a discussion on anti-Semitism, but they didn't call it anti-Semitism. They said, we're going to talk about prejudices and Anne Frank and the Holocaust and stuff. And I wouldn't have gone if it said anti-Semitism. But, you know...
That's too abstract a term.
Yeah.
To interest
to grab
they
your interest.
Said, yeah. Then we found out that it was about Anne Frank, and oh, that's something that, you know, I can relate to.
Or maybe if the session is going to be in the Middle East, have a session because we just saw a video. Or a video that was stopped, but I know that on Lebanon about a 14-year-old boy in Lebanon who was a soldier, had killed many people, who very well may be dead right now because he lived in Beirut, and he's as old as Tim is. And you know, you think about that, it's like wow. But maybe you know, talk about reworking a session toward gearing it toward youth in other countries or something, rather than saying the Arab-Israeli conflict implications on Lebanon.
Yeah.
Would you hear that? Would you come?
Anyone up above who'd like to get in? Yes.
A comment relating back to something he said when he talked about intergenerational volleyball, and sometimes you have a lot of kids. You have the opposite of kids not feeling like they are invited, but sometimes adults, if it's an intergenerational event and it's games or something, I think you probably get adults who say, well, gee, I don't want to do that. That's not something I want to get involved in. So then you've lost the purpose of it also. So you have to appeal to both sides.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we found that some activities are inherently more attractive to kids and some. So, you know, we've got to find the mix or really be invitational and accepting and you know, true. So we, that's a good point, though, that sometimes.
One of the things that I was recently involved in, which involved age ranges from 3 on up to grandparenthood, was a scavenger hunt. And we were assigned to teams, and you weren't included on any of your... None of your family members were on your team,
mm-hmm.
but you had to work together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was no big prize at the end. It was just knowing you had done it. And I really saw how the kids interacted with adults that they had never met before, but they mm-hmm. were working as a team. Things like that foster cooperation in some respect.
Funny you should mention that. We had one planned for this week, but then the miners had a $100,000 to scavenger hunt, and how can I compete with $100,000? But yeah, that's an excellent idea. That's an idea that we've had also. That
do it next week.
Try. Yeah.
There was someone up here.
I guess I just challenged the adults to, being at Holden for a year now, I know what you mean about not being appealing. And yet here at Holden, it's really an opportunity to sort of let down some of those walls. I think this year I watercolored for the first time since third grade. And my picture looked just like I left off at the and I went and made kites, and I didn't go as an adult. I went as a child, and it's amazing. You can pick up things here that you left off a long time ago, and it's really fun. And I think, just as the kids have to maybe look at a title that says anti-Semitism and say, now what is that? Oh yeah, that's when you're prejudiced against Jews. Okay, I might be interested in that. I mean, they have to work hard too with all our titles that we give things. And yet, I guess I challenge the adults to, with their life experience, to maybe let down a little bit and go see what it's about, you know, and go see what's happening.
I think that's a really good point, and I think that's what we're trying to do here is, you know, to break down barriers and find commonalities that all of us can experience the joy and the learning from, not put little barriers up that, you know, because we've seen that the interests run from nature to moral dilemmas to friends, which are common to all of us, and that's what we're searching for. And I really appreciate all your ideas you're giving me. It's great.
What about at orientation time as new families come in? Kids normally don't seem to be attending the orientation sessions. Maybe it's building more barriers, but creating there's going to be children's orientation, and at that orientation having some slides and some videos that show how kids at Holden can be involved with adult kinds of things, as well as adults being involved with the kids, and maybe putting a little more pressure at the adult session on, there's some kids things and intergenerational things that we do at Holden that we want the adults, whether you came with children or not, if you enjoy being with children, do it. We want you to be involved and be focusing a little more at that point in time.
Tagging on to that idea, how about having one or two of the kids be with the adults at the orientation? Perhaps they've been at the village for a week and they can offer some input in. Start including those kids right away. For instance, we came in today, there was a neat minor activity at 2 o'clock, that was orientation time. That's where our family was. Mm-hmm. So your kids don't get involved immediately.
So maybe having some representatives of younger ages at the orientation to do some of the orientating for their own, for their peers.
Take that a step further. I think of back when I was a freshman in college. At the college I was at, I was assigned a senior as a mentor, kind of a big sister. And that was real nice to have someone of another age there that already knew the ropes, or just anyone of a different age to kind of have an interaction, introduction, so you know that person of this other age and form somewhat of a relationship, or to show you around the different ropes or different things that are happening too.
Good.
We've heard a lot of ideas here. I've been watching these guys, and sometimes we do this, sometimes we do that. And I'm just curious of if you can share which ones you're doing this thing, which ones you're doing that.
I liked how she was saying to, you know, challenging the adults and the kids, but, you know, I can turn it around too. These Middle Eastern affairs are kind of interesting. But I wouldn't go by myself. You know, if I could talk to anyone, they'd be here, you know. Or if I was going to go with my parents or something, I might. But it seems a lot easier to stoop, I guess, to a lower age than to rise above. Because, I mean, when I can sit around it, you know, my parents have parties and I can talk to all the adults, but then again, you know, if I just walked in and sat down, you know, looking like a kid, I don't think I would be respected as much as if we talked on the phone and they didn't know I was a kid.
So a key factor in all this is attitudes, how you approach somebody and what sort of an attitude you have toward them, being inclusive.
Dave, I wonder if any of our panelists have additional thoughts that they brought and would like to share that we didn't get to earlier in the first or second round. I know some of them have very complete notes here. It's amazing how much they prepared. And I want to give them a chance to share more of that if they'd like to. Ali, do you have some more you'd like to say?
No, you said it.
All right. Speak up so the mic can pick it up.
Me and Sonia were talking about some ideas about Narnia that could possibly be better. And she was talking how 13-year-olds have a decision either to go with younger kids, like 10 to 12 years old, or to go with the older kids, 15 to 17. And maybe if they had like more closer of age groups instead of having them so widespread, have maybe like 1 year apart or two, so that way they're not like, oh boy, you know, you're 5 years older than me or something.
Mm-hmm. So Sonia, you've kind of felt that kids your age at Holden here kind of are in the middle and can't really go either direction?
You're 12, right? So you're right on the transition point, the borderline. Do 12-year-olds feel a little out of place at Narnia? Is that what you're saying? But you also feel you're a little too young for the minors, or the rest of the minors think you're too young?
Oh,
Probably both.
Probably both, yeah. So what's the solution to that?
Maybe like a 12 to 13 or 12 to 14, rather than 12 to 17.
Yeah, 12, narrower age range within one group.
I agree.
Yeah.
My brother's 13 and I'm 17 and he's in the same thing I
am. Yeah, it doesn't always fit. We all hear you.
I have a question. Were you here before Sonia?
Sonia remembers her old Narnia director.
Okay. Yeah. I'm sorry I missed the earlier part of the session, but this year we tried to have 10 to 12 year olds together instead of 9 to 12 year olds. Was that better?
Yeah.
But maybe 11 and 12 year olds together?
Or even 12 and 13.
What if we had the 13 and 14 year olds together and the 11 and the 12 year olds? Yeah. That'd be true. Thank you.
Maybe groups that are two grades rather than three or four, when there are enough numbers to do that.
Yeah.
That helps.
Anything else, Sonia, that you had? No? Sharon, do you have anything else? On the topic, no? Guys? Any words of wisdom?
How about the interaction at Narnia? The kids go off in the morning and they are supervised by a certain group of staff. How about having some adults who have free time in the morning want to go and help? They can maybe interact with the kids
and that?
They don't have to be staff and selected, they can be guests or anybody who feels like they want to get to know the kids and work with them.
Do you have something to say about that?
Yeah.
Okay.
The teachers are teaching you how to do the project. They're walking around going, you know, oh, that's good, or you need more paint on this or that. And you do need people to help you because it's hard to do something, have directions, and just start all by yourself. You need someone who has done it before and experienced how to work with children in that area.
So you're saying that it'd be good to have some more helpers sometimes in Narnia?
Yeah.
Okay. Narnia does use volunteers out of the population any time. Do you get enough?
Not lately.
We haven't asked as often as we have when.
Say it again.
We haven't asked as often as we have when sometimes we have more. But we can certainly encourage that for sure. The other thing I'd like to really encourage in Narnia is that if you do have a project, that it isn't, and it's a challenge to the kids too, is not to always have it look a certain way or have, like if you're making a windsock, and it doesn't always, you can use your creativity and make it look any way you want. And that I'd really encourage not to always have it look just like the one the teacher has. So I know that's an
do your own windsock.
Yeah. You create your own. But I hear you about the teachers.
Since we have maybe 5 or 10 minutes left, I'd just like to try and maybe wrap up a little bit and maybe form some sort of a conclusion or high points that we've seen so far. Maybe if then there are any last ideas we can come off of where we've been and really maybe then, because I think this has been a really useful session, I know for me. but first of all, we all agreed that children have an important role at Holden, that the interaction between children and adults is important and should be nurtured, and that Holden has an important kids like it here, and it's important to them. Is that what we agreed on? Yeah. And then some specific ideas that really caught my attention were that the 7 o'clock time in the evening is a time that more could be done with family activities.
Activities for all ages.
For all ages, to interact. That things such as a game night
or one intergenerational activity a day would be a good way to help that. That sessions should appeal to both young and old, especially gearing maybe a more teenager perspective, gearing on some problems that might face teenagers, whether it be drugs or alcohol or maybe the issue of dating and all the things that happen in that issue. Things that talk about families interacting together, how to, you know, family devotions, family customs at holidays, how families deal with certain problems, perhaps, stresses in their lives. I know something that I see a lot where I live is the stresses on one-parent families and how those are happening more and the special needs that that presents. And Holden, I think, can be a real important in supporting people who come with that. Any other just highlights that really struck you tonight as being important that we really should pursue here this summer and soon that would really be good to really try to put into action? Panel, anybody?
I think like on that orientation, they should have like what they said before, kids in there telling other things about it, because I came here thinking, oh, this would be really fun, I won't know anybody or anything, and I probably learned more outside the orientation than I did by meeting people and stuff.
So have the orientation, have one part of the orientation gear more toward kids and what they can do here and how they can, okay?
Yeah.
And I heard also, let that part be presented by people of younger ages, teens and younger.
Young people here, is that something that, say you'd been in the village for 5-6 days or a week and you're staying for 2 weeks, or, you know, a situation where some of you are here longer, would that be something that you would be willing to do maybe once a week or so to come in and talk to the kids who come in? And I mean, is that something that you think we could, that would be, you think would be wise? Yeah?
Well, I remember last year when I got off the bus, the minors were like, they came up and talked to you right away.
Oh.
And they asked me if I wanted to work in the ice cream parlor and all that stuff like that. So, like, they had planned to meet the people each day.
Of their age.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's great.
That helped you feel.
So I got to know people really fast. Mm-hmm.
Sharon?
That, I bet that's nice for you, but when I first came, I was like, Mom, I don't want to go. I'm not going to know anybody. You know, there's no TV and everything like that. But I've had a great time and I've met a lot of new friends. And it's just real nice because you're meeting people from all over the country. You get to write to them. Like on the boat here, I met a girl from Canada, and I live in Texas, and you know, I said, why don't we write to each other? And she mentioned when the post guy's gonna look at it, he's gonna go long distance. But I really feel comfortable here now that I've settled in and everything, and next year I'll know most of the places and I won't get lost or that sort of stuff that happens.
And that's great. And that's
good.
That's what we want, is for Holden to be able to do that. Yeah. And any other specific ideas? I think that those ideas about orientation and about, you know, welcoming people more, that's, you know, that's really excellent.
Meeting the bus.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
Uh-huh.
I wanted to emphasize that orientation thing again, because if I hadn't come with my friend, I'd have been really, you know, I'd have been sitting back and hoping that somebody would come up to me. Yeah, and then since we were together, it was easy for us to walk up to people that were by themselves and say, hi, you know, what are you doing? But if I had come by myself, I would hope that there would be somebody to meet me when I come off the bus or to introduce himself at orientation or something.
And that's not an issue just for kids. I know the first time I came here, I felt really lost. And I didn't know anybody. I'd never been here before. And I wondered, is there anybody that's here now in the room, no matter what age, who came by themselves, did not come with their, you know, support group intact, like with their family? And is there anybody that was in that situation when they first came? Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. So maybe paying attention to people who come in that situation. and really getting them welcomed and into the community and so forth. Anybody else have any?
I'm curious how you think about the food here.
I think we had a brief word on that before you came in, Jackie, but let's have some more. Did you miss what?
We had a distinction between a lima loaf and lentil loaf.
Yeah. Well, see, I think they should emphasize more on what children would like to eat more, because it's kind of funny eating something that you've never had before and you're like, what is this stuff? And I think this, I mean, the food, most of it I know what it is, but but they should have more of a variety of more children's food than real grown-up food, like lentil loaf.
Well, once I was,
others, yeah, go ahead.
I was here February, and I don't know what it was, but they would prepare simple foods, but then they would have different choices, like it was popovers, and there would be plain cheese for the kids and cheese and broccoli for adults. And so it's a pretty different variety. If you are a kid and you don't like broccoli, you don't mind. I mean, it's really nice having it plain, something that you can have. Or there's a salad and there's a certain cream cheese on it, and if there's not cream cheese, the kids will be much more appetized towards it.
Guys, any comments on food?
It's good to eat, right? Good to eat. Of course, I might know miners get pizza every so often, which you had either.
I have a question for the miners about the orientation. Would you prefer to be met by one person or by a group of people?
At the bus, right? When you get off the bus, you'd like to be met by a group of your peers.
Any final,
did you have a comment? No? All right. Yes.
I just had a final comment. It just occurred to me just now, I wonder if it would also be nice if a group of peers said goodbye also.
Ah. Uh-huh. Would that be welcome?
Well, if you met people, that'll just happen naturally.
Yeah. Very good.
Well, I'd just like to reemphasize something that came up earlier, and that's the respect issue that the team shared with us, and I think some of these guys shared with us too, that even in a session, adults have been extremely guilty of patronizing people. And the younger they are, the more patronizing shows in tone of voice and assumptions about what kind of issues are important to them. And I would just challenge all the adults to try to avoid that, because everyone in this room is a human being. And some of them probably know more about certain things than you do. So there's no point in patronizing. I think that's where a lot of the division begins.
Thank you. Thanks to all of you.
Yes, thank you.
It's been
very
good to have you here. And we appreciate your willingness to share. And I would just like to urge all of us in the village, of whatever age, to share any additional ideas that occur to us in these next hours and days. Drop them in the suggestion box. There's a suggestion box, Dave, up by the... By the bulletin board.
East into the,
you can write it in there. You can do it anonymously if you don't want to put your name on it, or you can put your name on it, or seek out Dave.
See me. I'm always
part of his job to work at this. So
Corbin would like more interesting things on the floor.
The mice are enough.
Yeah. Thank you very much for your willingness to share.
Thanks to all of you.